Amen. Please turn to Job chapter 28. Two times in this set of chapters in which Job speaks, it's referred to as Job's parable. In this particular chapter, the parabolic or Old Testament proverbial nature of Job's parable will be very evident. Learning involves a three-step process. First, you have to have knowledge. Then, from that knowledge, understanding. And finally, wisdom. A lot of people never get past the first step. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, where it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. If you don't come to the knowledge of the truth, you're not going to have any understanding, and you're certainly not going to be wise. For without the truth, Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 22 says, for my people is foolish, they have not known me, they are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. They don't know God. And so they don't have any understanding. And they don't know how to do anything good. On the other hand, knowing God can make all the difference. And in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, and I will give you pastures according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And when you get the right knowledge and you have understanding from that, then God is ready to reveal his wisdom. Job actually understood something about the wisdom of God and where it came from. And so in this chapter, he's going to talk about the wisdom of God. But in the first part of the chapter, he's going to use an illustration that serves as a metaphor. And so we're going to look at the illustration first, and then we'll see Job's application of that illustration. And so we go to chapter 28. God has hidden things in the earth. There is silver and gold and iron and copper. Notice verses 1 and 2. Surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth. And brass is molten out of the stone. And the word used for brass here is actually for the copper that is used to make the brass. And copper is the raw material, and you put it with zinc and you end up with brass. It points to the end result, but the mining of the raw material begins with copper. There were seven metals of primary use in ancient times, and these are four of those. Now, these things need to be mined out of the earth. So in verse 3, he says, he setteth an end to darkness and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. Let me interpret. The word darkness here is the place where gold and silver and iron and copper are hidden in the earth. By mining these elements, you release them from darkness. The stones of darkness, those things that God has hidden in the earth, are brought into the light. But such mining efforts are life-threatening. That's the shadow of death. How many people have died in mines? We don't know in ancient times how dangerous it must have been without some of the modern technology. Then he tells us that water can flood the mines. Verse 4, the flood breaketh out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They are dried up, they are gone away from men. Now, there are actually two parts to this verse. First is the flood, and then is the cleanup. The first part, the flood breaketh out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of the foot. The inhabitant of the mine, the miners, dig to the point where they break through, not knowing that there was a huge aquifer underneath of their feet, and the water floods the mine. But then they clean it up because they want to keep on mining. And so they dry up the water and they keep on with their work. In verse 5, as for the earth, out of it cometh bread. So the topsoil produces grain that makes it possible for us to make bread. But under it says in the verse, and under it is turned up as it were fire. Not literal fire, but as it were fire. In other words, we're talking about something that is combustible. Coal. In ancient times, charcoal. Digging up coal that can produce fire. That's a coal mine. That thing is, you see the wall to the right is just solid coal, and that drill is just churning it up into coal dust. He says in verse 6, the stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold. That blue thing you see there is a sapphire in its natural setting. And there are places where you can find gold dust as well. There are places in caves where animals on the surface of the earth have never been. Notice in verse 7, he says, there is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. In fact, he says in verse 8, the lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. We're talking about deep caves down in the earth where animals have never gone. And then he says that God lets man see his treasures that he's hidden in the earth. Verse 9, he putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to the light. There are a lot of amazing things that God has put under the surface of the earth. And just for fun, I thought we would do something a little different tonight. I looked up a bunch of pictures of things God has hidden under the earth. And we're going to ask for the lights to be turned out, and we're going to take a little tour of some of the caves of the earth. How would that be? Okay. I don't have a lot of comments about some of these things, but just enjoy the pictures. That's flowstone. How many of you have been in caves? You been in caves? Aren't they fun? There's a lot of really neat stuff. Stalactites and stalagmites. Now, man likes to pretty them up with all of the colored lights, but I think the natural colors that you see down there sometimes are better than probably always better than the artificial lights.
Now that fascinated me. Can you imagine seeing that underground? That's down in a cave somewhere. And then there's that cave. That's a natural cave. There's a name. I forget what they called that cave. Grape something or other, I think. But it's in a foreign country someplace, and I forget which country it said. But fascinating place underground. And then there's that. How about these huge crystals? And there's rivers down there underground. Some of them you can even take a boat ride in. Now wait, I'm not done yet. Because there's gold in them, there are hills. And there's silver to be mined. And there's iron to be mined. And there's copper to be mined. Isn't that interesting? Just like God said. Let's have the lights back on. God has hidden some wonderful things under the earth. And then he asked this question in verse 12. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. It can't be found in the depths of the earth. Hopefully you can see the bubbles there. This is supposed to be underwater. Because it says in verse 14, the depth say it is not in me. I take that to be down in the depth of the earth. But then it says, and the sea saith, it is not with me. And wisdom cannot be bought. Verse 15, it cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx, or the sapphire. Verse 17 says, the gold and the crystal cannot equal it. Now, the crystal here is referring to quartz crystal, and you know that's where you find gold. Gold is often found in quartz. And you can't buy it with jewelry made of gold. Notice verse 17 again, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. That's jewelry made of gold. You can't buy it with your jewelry. You can't buy it with coral or pearls or rubies in verse 18. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. And verse 19, the topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. So Job says, well, where does wisdom come from then? Verse 20. Whence then cometh wisdom? You can't find it in the depths. You can't buy it. Where is the place of understanding? Verse 21. Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living. Just like the gold and silver and iron and copper that's hidden in the earth and you have to dig for it, wisdom is hidden. And the hidden wisdom of God is referred to in the Bible as a mystery. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power." There were things that the Old Testament saints never knew because it wasn't revealed. It was hidden in God. But now it's known. We know some things that the Old Testament prophets didn't know when they were alive on the earth. Go over to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25. "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Thus we cannot know the wisdom of God unless he opens up the caves and lets us go in and find it." Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." God doesn't tell us everything. Wisdom is hidden in him. We go back to Job chapter 28. In verse 20, "Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding?" Verse 21, "Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air, destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears." But God knows where wisdom is. Verse 23, "God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof, for he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven." And God is the one who declares wisdom in verse 25, "to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure, when he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder. Then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out." Now, would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Because they're hidden in God. But God opened the spiritual cave to let us see some of that wisdom that is hidden in him. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And this is the only way that we could ever find them. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Isn't that wonderful? He opened up the spiritual caves. Here are these things that are hidden in God, and he lets us see them. Verse 13, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, unsaved people are not allowed to go into these caves. Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Can you imagine? You say, I found gold. And your friend says, nah, you didn't find any gold. Yeah, I dug a cave and I found a gold vein. Nah, don't believe it. And he misses out on the gold, because he doesn't believe your testimony. There are lots of unsaved people that hear the word of God, but they say, no, that can't possibly be true. And they refuse to go in the spiritual caves and see the wonderful things of God. But the saved man can mine them and find them in verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Can you imagine? We have available to us the very mind of Christ. All those wonderful things that God has hidden in himself, we have access to them through the mind of Christ. It's absolutely amazing. We go back to, before we go back to Job, a little bit more, would you go to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 28? No, wait a minute. That's not what I want. I think it probably is Job 28:28, but let's see here. Yeah, it is Job 28:28. It's the last verse in the chapter of Job. And I typed it wrong in my notes. Sorry about that. Here's what Job says. Here's Job's conclusion. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. That goes right along with everything else that we find in the scriptures. Psalm 110, Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 33. Proverbs 15 and verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Job says, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And he was exactly right. Now, there are two things that we have to understand about fearing God. First of all, if you oppose God, there will be some dreadful consequences. Go to Isaiah chapter 2, verse 17. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 17. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 17. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord. And for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord. Now, what does that sound like? Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, verse 15. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? There's going to be a tremendous consequence if you're unsaved and afraid of God. But if, on the other hand, your fear of God causes you to respect him and submit to him with that respect, there will be wonderful benefits. Let me just read through the verses. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Proverbs 14, verse 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Proverbs 14, 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6, by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Proverbs 19, verse 23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. God's wisdom is hidden from view by the general public. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Think of that. Is ignorance bliss? Not in that case. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But would you go to Matthew chapter 13? Because that's not made available to just everyone. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And you say, well, that's really, I mean, if God would just let them see it. No, here's the point. You remember in Romans chapter 1, when it says that people did certain things and God gave them over to a reprobate mind and things like that. You have a choice as a human being. And if you choose to reject God, God says, I will not force you against your will to believe in me. And if that's what you want, if you want to go that way, go ahead. I won't stop you because it's your choice. And that's goes right along with what he's talking about here. You do have to dig deep for the wisdom of God in the spiritual realm, just as you have to dig deep for silver and gold and iron and copper. Romans chapter 11 and verse 33 says, Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. They're very deep. But God opens the cave so that you can see the truth. Job says in Job chapter 28 and verse 28, And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The kind of fear in which you say, I really believe in the Lord. I respect him. I believe he's right. He's right about everything. His word is true. I accept it. I respect it. I obey him because I respect him. I trust him with the faith of my heart. And in that kind of fear, God will open the caves of the hidden things of wisdom and let you see some wonderful things. I can't imagine what it was like for the first person in California back in the 1840s to discover gold. Remember the gold rush of the 1840s out in California? Men put a high value upon gold. And I just wonder what it was like, the exuberance for that man who found gold. Wow. You know, when we enter the caves of God's wisdom and we see the marvelous things that he has prepared for us,
there ought to be some wonderful exuberance in our hearts. Because there's nothing more valuable than the wisdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for opening the caves of wisdom so that we could see. And we see sometimes some things, some amazing things that you've put under the ground, down in those caves in the physical world. And we just are in awe of some of those beautiful things. But they pale in such insignificance compared to your wisdom. Let us rejoice in the privilege to have access to the mind of Christ so that we can know many of the wonderful, wise things you have provided for us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.